In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do not think that In the Garden has ever been sung with incense before. You want to talk about the breadth of the Episcopal Church? I think that pretty much personifies it right there. Our reading today is the traditional one this time of year, The Road to Emmaus, one of the resurrection appearances of our Lord Christ. We're told it's the resurrection day. Early that morning, the women had gone to the tomb, and then this evening, these two fellows, Cleopas and somebody else, they don't tell us, were walking to Emmaus for some reason. And on the way, a stranger comes up. And I love the irony. Don't you know what's been going on to Jesus? I think Jesus knew what was going on. He was there. And they tell me all this stuff had happened. And I love the way they describe it. He says, what were you talking about? And they stopped. And it doesn't say, and they looked at him, but I think they looked at him and looked sad. You know, how can you not know what's been going on? But then he goes from having no knowledge, apparently, of the events taking place to explaining to them how exactly these things had to take place according to the scriptures. I'm sure their minds were a bit blown by that transition there from complete ignorance to complete understanding. But still, they don't recognize him. And we're told specifically it's because their eyes were closed. It wasn't because they were crying like Mary Magdalene might have been, but because Jesus didn't want to be known by them right then. But then, when they come to the place where they're staying, and they break bread together, then they recognize that Jesus is with them. And then they're able to make sense of the feelings they had on the road, that warmth that they felt as they walked along. It was in the breaking of the bread that they knew the risen Savior. And of course, we use that expression quite often. It's one of our fraction anthems. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And that works for us too. I mean, one of the reasons we use that is because when we come to communion and we break bread together and share in the body and blood of Christ, the idea is that we grow closer, that we know Christ in that behavior, in that action. We follow what we see Christ doing. He takes and blesses and breaks and gives. And that's what we do in the Eucharistic prayer. Take the bread, bless it, break it. We make a big deal out of actually breaking that little wafer. Because that's what Christ did. He broke the bread and then gave, shared it with his friends. And they knew him in that act. In our Rite One service, we talk about that we consume Christ, that he may be one with us and us with him, that we may dwell forever, that we physically take in something of Christ, mingle his molecules somehow with ours, that he becomes part of us. And at one end of the spectrum, it's completely symbolic, but we're not at that end of the spectrum. We're not at the other end either. We're somewhere in the middle. We're Episcopalians. Somehow, we understand that Christ is really present in what we do here. Not through magic words or incantations, but Christ is really present in the Eucharist. And that we become one with him and invite him to be one with us and live our lives together. And notice what these guys did. Once they had known they had been in the presence of Christ, they ran back to the others. They couldn't wait to share that good news, that Christ is alive. We have the misfortune of living in a time and place where practically everyone we know seems to know about the good news of Christ. They may not do anything about it, but we kind of can assume they know it, or at least we could. But day in, day out, most of the people we meet probably go to church somewhere. And so we have lost that impetus to proclaim the good news of Christ. And Episcopalians have never been known for standing on street corners or going door to door, and I'm not advocating it now. It's one of the reasons I'm glad I'm Episcopalian, quite frankly. But we can share the good news of God and Christ in our lives, in the way that we treat one another, in the way that we treat those around us, in the attitude and the approach we have to others. That we live our lives fully aware that each and every person we meet is a person created in the image of God. and that Jesus Christ gave his life for their salvation as surely as he did for ours. That will change a person. That will transform a person if we allow it to. If we can go through our day reminding ourselves constantly that all those that we meet are redeemed by God, redeemed through Christ's blood, are seen by God in exactly the same way that we are, will that change the way we treat people? It should. It really should. Your average person won't do that. I mean, we're wired to try to get what we can for ourselves. Take care of ourselves, take care of our family, and then let the others deal with it. But in Christ, we're pulled together into one body, one blood. We see the world differently because we've seen Christ, because we know him in the breaking of the bread. We know that fellowship with God and fellowship with each other is the essence of it. It's what we do. That through Jesus Christ, we are able to have communion with one another and with God. And we come and eat the little... You know why we use wafers? If you can believe that's actually bread, it's not that much harder to believe it's Jesus. But we come and we share in the body and blood of Christ, and we're able to know him in the breaking of the bread and sharing with one another, in sharing our lives together, and in sharing Christ's love with everyone around us. That's why you're here. You could have used the weather as an excuse. Apparently some people did. And I don't blame them. But we're here, and we feel the warmth and the caring and the love that Christ has for us, that God showed us in Jesus Christ. And we worship him, and we give thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.